I want to say this with Dr. Robertson here by my side. God bless him. I thank the Lord so much for what God has done in my life and in the life and ministry of this church through the ministry of Dr. Lee Robertson. And Dr. Robertson, we want you to know that what we're trying to do here is what we have witnessed the Lord doing and accomplishing through the life and ministry that he gave you in the great ministry at Highland Park and Tennessee Temple. And I know you're interested, deeply interested in what we're doing and praying for us. And we love you so very much. Amen. And I talk about you all the time here. And I was telling him this morning, his picture's around different places. And one person said to me, "That's the man in the picture." And this is the fellow in the picture. And I wear a big picture of him in my heart. And it's tremendously encouraging to me. I couldn't be more thrilled to have anybody in the whole wide world here than I am to have you here. And I thank the Lord. My wife and I love you and Ms. Robertson so very much. We're delighted to have you. Amen. God bless you. Let's give him a big hand. We're happy he's here. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. I recall the first time that I saw you, dear pastor, years and years ago. The first time. Dignified salesman, working with people, beautifully dressed, and I never that time thought that one day he'd be a great pastor of a great church. But God has blessed him, and God will bless you. You've got a marvelous, wonderful work. And tonight, the music was superb. It couldn't be better. And thank God for all of you and for what you're doing. And good to be here in your midst and be with you. I don't know. I just wrote on a little piece of paper. I've been here just today, but I've been around here before. I believe this is the most amazing church in America. The most amazing church in America. I mean that. And I've seen thousands of them. I've been all over the country, from California, New York City, Canada, Mexico, in all of it. I've been in all of them, hundreds and hundreds of them. And I believe yours is the most amazing church of any that I've ever seen. And I thank God for you and for what you're doing and for this great and mighty work, and praise God for you. Well, it's good to be here with you and all of you. Thank you, choir and singers and young people and older people, everyone. May God keep on blessing you day by day and lead you on in all of his work. I was the best man for a fellow in Louisville and getting married. And he was named Elbert Gallagher. What a name. And I was to be the best man. And I stayed back in the back where I should stay until the bridegroom got there, and I would walk in with him, you know how you're doing the wedding. But he didn't arrive. He was late. And everything late. And the bride at the door ready to come in, everything set except no bridegroom. And they stood there, all of them so worried. They had the beautiful wedding music and finished it all. The organ played a while, then she quit. And so they said, "Brother Robertson, you were the singer of this church. Would you go out and sing?" And I said, "Man, I wouldn't go out there and sing. There's no time for me to sing now. And in a wedding, and this thing has gone afar." And I stood there, and they paced the floor a little bit, and the pastor and others, and finally they came back, that "Would you please just sing a hymn?" And the wedding was then about 35 minutes late, and it should have been all over a long time ago. Well, I said, "I don't want to, but I'll do it." So I came out, picked up a hymn book, threw it open, and hit the organist. I sang number so and so in the key of A flat. And I said, "Just give me the chord and I'll begin." So I got on the platform, and the wedding gonna take place right there. And she gave the chord and I began to sing. And the wedding was in late, 40 minutes late, and I began to sing. You know what I picked out to sing? And with all the force of my soul, I sang it. "I Come to the Garden Alone." I sang that much, and the people stood up and cheered, honestly. And I got out of there real fast. I said, "This is no place for me." And I went back, and the pastor said, "I think that was a big mistake." And I said, "I think that's the biggest I've ever made in my life." But it happened. All right, God bless you. Open your Bible, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Don't be afraid to be different. My message for tonight, don't be afraid to be different. Let God speak to your heart. And you're doing things here that are different from other churches. Praise God for them. They're good. They work. They wake us up, make us think, make us pray more, and do more. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe he is precious." Underscore that, your Bible. "Unto you therefore which believe he is precious." But of them would be disobedient. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same as made the head of a corner. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that beautiful? A great, mighty passage. Don't be afraid to be different. The strong word in this day is conform and fit in. And what one does, another will do. And they go on their way. That applies to speech. It applies to wearing apparel. And people conform to a certain image, to a certain idea. That applies to morals. Moral standards at a low ebb in this nation. Because people conform. Others are sinning, others are going the wrong way, so they go the wrong way also. And people conform to customs in your city, in Chattanooga, and New York, and Chicago, and Mexico City, everywhere. They conform. And we've got to see that, this conforming in this day and time. Now, people conform everywhere. And they conform in their drive and their beliefs and their behavior. But I want to give you courage to stand for your convictions. Stand for your conviction. Number one, don't be afraid to be a New Testament Christian. Study Peter, James, and John. Study the Apostle Paul. Have their convictions recorded in the Word of God. Pattern after them in separation and testimony and generosity and determination. Don't be afraid to be different. Just say, this is the goal of my life. I'll live according to the Bible. I'll live according to these great Bible teachers of years gone by. I want to be true and stand fast for my Lord all the time. I had a man saved in Chattanooga, a Jew, and a strong Jewish member of their faith. But he left. He accepted Christ. And he came in. And as a Christian, he gave himself. He gave his money, gave large offerings. He responded to every offering. A tithe and more than a tithe, and kept on going. And finally, this Jewish man had been saved to him at Eaton, went and talked to him and said, now, you don't have to respond to everything. You don't have to give everything like that. And when the preacher makes an announcement and asks for something, you don't have to do anything. You can. And he rebelled. He said, no, I like it. He said, God saved me, and I want to give everything I can. I want to do my best for him all the time. Now, wait a minute. He was following the New Testament pattern. When they gave themselves to the Lord and all of his work. Now be different. Be different in your life. Young people, mother and dad, older people, be different. Number one, worship God. Worship God. I believe in going to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night prayer meeting. And every time you can. I believe in giving spiritually. Scripturally. We ought to give according to the Word of God. We ought to be tithers, all of us. And beyond the tithe. I believe in separation from the world and live a separate life. If there's a question about something, don't do it. Turn away from it. I believe in witnessing fearlessly and giving your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a little fellow in school some years ago, Tennessee Temple, named Paul Carr. A little short fellow, interesting fellow, saved, called of God to preach. And I worked with him and helped him some. And I went up there to his little chapel. He wanted to preach his way. Took a little chapel way up on top of the mountain, a tiny place. And I got up there one night to be with him. That building was packed and jammed. I discovered that he had led every one of them in that building to the Lord one by one. Had gone out up and down the hills and around the mountains and led the people to the Lord and brought them there to the house of God and built a work in an unheard of place. But God used it. Now, don't be afraid to be a Christian after the New Testament pattern. And say, I want to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to follow the Bible and live as God wants me to live. Number two, don't be afraid to be a dependent Christian. Here's your Bible. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, don't be afraid to be a dependent Christian. Rest in the Lord. Depend on him, his power, the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, he came in. You have him now, if you're a child of God. Now, he wants to have you. He wants to fill you and possess your life and use your life. So rest in him. Then wait on him. Wait patiently for the Lord. Don't rush. Don't go ahead. But wait on God until God guides. And then move out and do what God said. Then pray about every need of your life. every need of your life. Pray and believe that God will hear and answer. Pray with faith, believing. George Mueller did, that great man of prayer. Dr. John Rice was a man of prayer and faith in God and prayed. Dr. Ernest Wadsworth, a man out of Chicago that many of you heard about, was a man of prayer. He came to Chattanooga and spoke, and I met him there. I went later up to Chicago to be in the meeting. I went by to see him. Went to his office. Wonderful Christian man. And I said, sir, I just want to feel and know that you're praying for me. I need prayer, and I want you to pray for me. Without a word, he opened up a big ledger and turned the pages. Then put his finger down, turned it around. I was number 473. 473 in that book. He said, I'll pray for you every day. I take name and name all through that ledger. Great big ledger of names given of every kind, all kinds of people. And he said, I've been praying for you every day. Now think of that. I believe in prayer. Amen. I know God answers prayer. Now, be a faith praying Christian. Then examine your faith and exercise your faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Build your faith upon the Word of God. Say, I have faith in God. Build it on the Word. Then build it on your past, His past performance to what God has done for you. And what God has done for you in the past, He'll do again in the future and more. And then build it on what He's done for others. And say, Lord, you can do the same for me. I want to exercise my faith in God. I want to believe in Him and exercise and move for Him and trust Him daily. Have faith in God. I brought a man to Chattanooga some years ago that your pastor knew all about. Dr. Charles Weigel, a songwriter, wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus, and many other beautiful songs. He came to me at an age up in years and stayed with us and was there until he was 95 years of age, singing almost every day for the students of the school, singing on the radio and used mightily in wonderful ways for God. But a great man. When he was 95, I want to celebrate. So I took the whole Sunday evening service to the city auditorium, big city auditorium downtown. And we packed the building up. And he stood on the platform and sang. And people sang with him. And it was a beautiful, wonderful hour. He had written so many lovely songs. At the end of it, they handed me a gift. Someone gave me a gift to give to him. Said, if you'll take this to him. And so I said, yes, I will. So we took him back to his room at the school, Tennessee Temple, and put him in his apartment. And then I had the box under my arm, and I said, here's something someone gave, wants you to have. And he said, what is it? I said, I have no idea. He said, well, open the box. I said, well, it's yours. You shouldn't be opening your box. He said, yes, I want you to know what it is. So open it up. And looked inside when I did. I said, I don't believe you'd like this, Doc. I said, I don't believe you'd want this. He said, wait a minute. He said, mine or yours? He said, it's yours. Well, he said, I want it. And I opened it up. Someone had given him a bright red coat. I mean red. It was bleeding red. And he said, let me put it on. About 10 o'clock at night when I got him back in his room after the service. And he tore off his coat and threw it on the floor and stood there and had put on that red coat. He stood there, 95 years of age, with a flaming red coat on. He said, Brother Robertson, how do I look? I couldn't tell him. I was too embarrassed to say a thing. But listen, he was a great Christian man. Many people knew him and loved his song. He wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus, and used mightily. Now, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be a dependent Christian. Rest on the promises of God. Let your life be used of God. And do the thing that God says He wants you to do with your life. Don't waste your life. Spend your life. Use your life for the glory of God. Then again, don't be afraid to be a soul-winning Christian. In John 1:42, and He brought him to Jesus. Andrew brought his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. Now, 95% of our Christians fail in this great work. Just a few are actually used of God to win others. Remember, the greatest thing that ever happened to you is your salvation. And the greatest thing that you'll ever do is to witness to someone else for Christ about salvation. And God wants to use you, and God will use your life. The humblest person here, the quietest person, a man or woman, the timid person can be used. And God wants you to have boldness and witness and be a soul-winning Christian and to speak out for His glory. And you say, but I can't do much. You can do what you can. I read the other day that a speck of radium, too small to be seen to the naked eye, has power to ring a bell for 30,000 years. Can you imagine it? A speck of radium, too small to be seen with the naked eye, has power to ring a bell for 30,000 years, had the scientific work all written out. But my dear friend, your testimony has great power. And when you witness for Christ, great things happen. And God bless it. God will use you in a mighty way. Now, your testimony can result in eternal salvation for a lost soul. Your speaking of Christ yourself to that neighbor of yours, that friend of yours, that workman of yours in the shop, in the factory, can result in salvation. Salvation and soul winning is everybody's business. And he brought him to Jesus. And we should be bringing people to the Lord. I preached up in West Virginia the other day, in a lovely place, lovely church. And lady got saved. And all the people were astonished. She came from a family that never attended church, had no part with anything spiritual at all. And she was born again, and she was happy about it. And she came up to me and said, "Oh, thank God, I've never gone to church in my life, but tonight heard the message, I accepted Christ, I'm saved, I'm born again. Then I'm going to come back tomorrow night, I'm going to bring my husband with me." And someone heard her say that. When she walked away, they said he'd never come. One of the toughest men in West Virginia, cursing, vile, temper, angry person, and people knew about him and feared him all of the time. But my friend, the next night she was back, sitting on the front row and by the side up with a man. And there was a husband. And that night God saved him. Amen. And with all of his wickedness, God saved his soul. And joined with his wife, they stood there at the front, shaking hands with the people, born again by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, the joy of pointing people to the Lord and pointing people to Christ, the Son of God. You're here tonight. Thank God for you. Think back a little bit when you got saved. Who was it that spoke to you? Who told you about Christ for the first time in your life? I can tell you about mine. I went to a little Sunday school class. I'd never gone to church in my life. I was 14 years old. Mother and dad never went to church. Louisville, Kentucky. And someone took me to a Sunday school class. Taught a little lady named Mrs. Daisy Hawes. An humble little baby. With a Bible in hand, she told me how to be saved. And I listened to the message. I went home. And with a message in my heart, I settled by on my knees saying, "Lord Jesus, I will now receive you as my Savior." And I was born again.
Amen.
And I decided to go to church and come forward and take my stand for Christ. 14 years of age. And I came to church, a big old round country church. And sat over to one side. And the pastor, Jan Benford, gave the invitation. I went down the front. I said, "Sir, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I know that I'm born again. I know it." And while he was standing there talking to me, a couple came out of it, a big old round church over to one side, walked down and stood there. And when I finished talking to the pastor, he turned to them. Who was it? My mother and father. They had never been there before. But I'd been going to Sunday school, and they said, "We need to go and see where he's going." They had never gone to church. But they came that Sunday morning, and when I took my stand for Christ, both of them came to the front and said, "We want to be saved too." And they were saved. And they're with the Lord now. I'm pointing out what it means. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak out for your Lord. Don't be afraid to testify of Christ and his power. And God will use you in a mighty way. But let God put his hand upon you. And let God bless you and direct your life in every way for the glory of God. Soul winning the business of everyone. We should be witnesses. And soul winning the business of mothers and fathers. And we should be pointing people to the Lamb of God. And this is the important thing for life. Your children, your loved ones, all of them need Christ. And we need to be saying, "Oh God, I want to do my best to point them to the Savior." Now, don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to be a New Testament Christian. And he brought him to Jesus. He, Andrew, brought Simon Peter to Jesus. And God wants to use you. Don't be afraid to witness for him. Don't be afraid to have a burden for others and say, "Lord, I want to see people saved. I want to see people come to my Savior." Don't be afraid to be different. Let God put his hand upon you. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Is he precious to you? Do you love Jesus tonight? Do you want others to be saved? Then begin now to say, "Lord, use me. I want to witness for you. I want to be a soul winner for the glory of God." Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, have your way now with every man, woman, and child in this building. May everyone be saying tonight, Father, I want your will to be done. I surrender myself to you. But in this building, Father, there are some who have never been saved. They've never accepted Jesus Christ. There couldn't be a better moment than this one to settle that. In this moment of time, man, woman, and child, to walk the aisle and say, tonight, I receive Christ. Tonight, I take my stand for him. He died for me. I want to be saved, and I can be saved through faith in Christ. Now come and bless dear Lord. Maybe some should join the church from another church, maybe moving into this area, coming with a letter of a statement into this church. Whatever it may be, take the invitation, use it, and bless it, and save a soul to revive hearts for Jesus' sake. Pastor.